And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Juneau's regional hospital is taking over two smaller care centers that can't afford to hire nurses. As Claire Strempel reports for KTOO, consolidations are one of the consequences of a nationwide nursing shortage that's affecting medical care across the state and shows no signs of slowing down.
Kelly Acardi pulls open the garage-style door to a storage unit full of wheelchairs, walkers, beds, and bedpans.
So this is our long closet, and it's actually pretty clean.
This is what's left of hospice care in Juneau. Anyone in the community can borrow the materials.
We have canes, crutches, and hospital beds, but those are reserved for hospice patients when we had them.
Acardi is the volunteer coordinator and last remaining employee of Catholic Community Services Hospice and Home Health Division. The program closed because it couldn't afford to keep nursing staff.
It's definitely been a tough year. It's been stressful for the employees for sure, but I mean, it's way more devastating to the community as a whole.
Acardi has been fielding phone calls from people whose parents are dying and need end-of-life care.
They know that this is the only hospice, and then I have to tell them that we've suspended services, and then they're like, what can I do? And it's really hard because I don't really have answers for them.
Now, home and hospice patients are going without specialized care and even resorting to emergency room visits. Hospice Director Erin Walker-Tolis says she has long struggled to staff the program, but the pandemic made the market for nurses even tighter.
All across the country, the healthcare worker shortage is affecting especially nonprofit and smaller healthcare providers.
She says they were priced out as the need for traveling nurses increased dramatically and prices soared over the past few years. Bartlett Regional Hospital will take over hospice and home care, but there will be a wait. The hospital is also taking over the local nursing home for the same reason. But Juneau care providers aren't the only ones struggling to maintain staff. Roughly a quarter of all nursing positions in Alaska are vacant.
Once you're short on workers and nurses, you're essentially limiting your capacity and the services you can provide.
Jared Kosin is the president and CEO of the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association, a trade group that represents hospitals and care centers. He described a negative feedback loop that's dogging the state's healthcare providers.
When you are providing less services, there's less revenue coming in.
Expenses are going up dramatically, while the ability to collect revenue is going down. That's leading to consolidations like the ones in Juneau and closures in the lower 48. It's an economic problem that's created a social one.
It doesn't matter that it's in Juneau. Frankly, if this is happening anywhere, it's going to affect the system.
Kosin said people get stuck in hospitals when smaller providers of what's called step-down care, non-hospital environments like hospice and nursing homes, can't stay afloat.
If you can't discharge out to the lower level of care, the system really grinds to a halt.
Kosin says the buildup of patients in the hospital is bad for the hospital's bottom line. There's no payment mechanism to support unnecessary stays.
And so they're stuck in the most expensive environment of care in our healthcare system.
He said the hardest part is that those patients don't need to be there. In Juneau, Bartlett Regional Hospital is waiting on licenses from the state to begin offering hospice and home care. Until then, patients and families will just have to wait. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
In the last bill Congress passed for the last year, a bill to fund government, was an unrelated provision aimed at saving democracy. The omnibus spending bill included 33 pages reforming the Electoral Count Act of 1887. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says it spells out how future presidential elections are to be certified to avoid a replay of the 2021 attack on the Capitol.
We need to make sure that never, ever, ever again is a vice president faced with the uncertainty as to what the extent of their authority is when it comes to certification of an election.
After the 2020 election, then-President Donald Trump and his allies tried to use ambiguities in the 1887 law to block or delay certification of the election he lost. The bill Congress passed makes it clear that the vice president's role on certification day is ceremonial. It also specifies how states submit their electoral college votes to prevent corruption of election results. Murkowski was among a group of senators who negotiated the reforms.
This was part of a many-month collaborative effort, a good bipartisan working group. I think that there were ultimately 16 that were involved over the course of the months. And I think we got a good product.
Murkowski was an original co-sponsor of the legislation this summer. By the time it was added to the spending bill, it had 15 Republican co-sponsors. Senator Dan Sullivan voted against the large spending bill, as did a majority of Republicans in the House and Senate. He cited reasons unrelated to electoral reform, and his office did not respond to an emailed inquiry. Representative Mary Peltola voted for a similar reform bill in the House. It was one of the first votes she took, and it passed largely along party lines. She also voted for the spending bill that included the final legislation. Metlakatla's ailing power grid got a boost this week after a new generator arrived, allowing authorities to roll back calls for power conservation. The community typically relies on its hydroelectric dam to power homes and businesses, but as a cold snap gripped southeast Alaska earlier this month, led to more residents to plug in their heaters, and the community had to turn to its diesel generator to help handle the increased load. Then on December 18th, the generator failed, causing widespread outages. Crews were able to restore power a few hours later, but the generator remained offline. That left Metlakatla with just over half of its power generation capacity intact. Officials called on residents to unplug or power down any non-essential devices, including Christmas lights. Metlakatla Mayor Albert Smith said he knows it was a big ask just a few days before the holiday.
I thank each and every one of them for sacrificing their lights and Christmas lights and stuff, and I was very, very happy to put out a notice on Christmas Eve that they could turn on their Christmas lights and the indoor lights and their Christmas tree and stuff as the weather had warmed up and the load had came down a little bit on the hydropower.
Smith says the community was able to secure an emergency rental generator on Monday through the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Sampson Tug and Barge. He says Metlakatla Power and Light crews got it hooked up shortly after it arrived, but by then it was only needed for backup since the hydroelectric dam was providing enough power to meet demand. It's a temporary fix, though. The generator has just about half the capacity of the broken one, but Smith says that for now the community can get back to normal, though he warns power conservation might be necessary again if the mercury drops.
I'm sure we're going to have more cold snaps coming, and that's when the hydro system is being strained. You know, winter's just starting for us, so we gotta we're still gonna have to continue to work and pull together, and I'm sure proud of our people for doing that.
Though it looked initially like the old generator had bitten the dust for good, Smith says Metlakatla Power and Light crews are disassembling the unit to see if repairs can be made. In the longer term, Smith says Metlakatla is working to access grant funds it was awarded about a year ago to purchase a new permanent generator to backstop the grid. Let's look at weather here in Juneau tonight. Scattered snow showers and patches of freezing fog, low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow will look very similar to today, but with a greater chance of scattered rain and snow showers. Highs in the mid-30s tomorrow with winds downtown 20 miles per hour, gusts up to 35. Snow becomes more of a certainty tomorrow night with widespread showers and up to 3 inches of accumulation. Right now, that is what the foreseeable future looks like in Juneau. It will warm up as the weekend and the new year approach with rain instead of snow, and that seems about right for how 2022 in Juneau should end. We are sitting at almost 88 inches of precipitation for the year so far. There's a couple days left. It's currently 34 degrees and mostly cloudy at Juneau International Airport. This is KTOO News. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Thanks for listening.